Aloha mai kakou, everyone. Welcome back to the Moana Nui podcast. Tonight, we are continuing our celebration for Mahina Olelo or Olelo Hawaii Month, our Native Hawaiian Language Month, where we celebrate our language, which is a key piece of our identity and our culture. And we want to mahalo Papa Olelo Kahi as one of our sponsors for our podcast to help us continue to bring this content to our community and our audience, and mahalo nui for that. Tonight's topic is malama'aina. And for those who don't know what that means, malama'aina is to care for the land, and for Native Hawaiians, our kanaka maoli. Our culture centers around our connection to our land. We do view our land as an elder sibling, something that is a key piece of our identity. And so tonight I wanted to have a conversation around this particular theme, and I've invited a wonderful group of guests and panelists, two who are new to our show and one who has been with us and doing this work for a while. So I'm going to introduce them before we get started, open up the space for tonight's discussion. Okay. My first guest is Hope Pualani Miki. She is from Hilo, Waiakea, Hawaii. She is a Hawaiian immersion teacher, educator for 18 years at the elementary level. But she, as her core identity, is a makuahine or a mother. She has three keiki in her ohana, and hula and sailing are the cultural practices that ground her. And she says that Hawaii is her core igniter. Oh, and the other thing too that is special about Pualani is that she is our Olelo Hawaii or Native Hawaiian translator on our latest book for the Adventures of Nakoa and Nohea series, Journey to Ikua. Welcome, Pualani, and mahalo nui for joining us tonight. Our second guest is Kanoi Lani Davis. Woo-hoo! Instagram song. For those who don't know her, she is the executive director of Ho'aka Mana. She's the founder and CEO of Po Mahina Designs. She's the host of Mana Bombs, which is her series that I love. It's little reminders about Kanaka and navigating the many challenges that we face today. She's definitely a cultural practitioner in many different cultural practices. She's from the island of Molokai Duaya Ahina, and her roots are deeply into the aina. And she is a lifelong cultural practitioner. She's constantly advocating for it, educating on it. It is truly a part of her being. I want to mahalo her back to the show. Aloha, yes. And then our last but not least guest, who I'm excited to have on the show as well, is Keone Kealoha Alvarez. He is an independent producer, director, and writer from the island of Hawaii. He has worked for multiple studios and films as a graduate of Naleo o Hawaii Public Access Station and the WGBH Producers Academy in Boston. He's worked for the History Channel, MTV, Oceanic Cable Sports, and several films, to include his own documentary film, Couple of Sacred Burials, which I'm excited to have him share more about that project because I find it super interesting as someone who is still exploring my own identity and understanding the comprehensive practices of Kanaka Maoli Native Hawaiian people. So I'm really happy to have him on the show. Ikubo mai, welcome, Keone. Okay. So I'm going to hand it over to Kanoi tonight because it is Olelo Hawaii Month and reinforcing our cultural practices. I want to hand it over to her to open up the space in Pule. So, Kanoi.
Mahana moana, aloha mai kakou, aloha all. Here in our little space here and those who are listening and watching, I was asked to do an opening Pule and I had to think about it for a second about what does that mean, right? And how does that work? And so of all the pule that I had in my little intelligence bank, the one that I thought of was pule kahuna. And really, it's about our leadership. It's about the people who do the work. It's about those who store the aina, who malama the iwi, who aloha or hula, who malama our keiki. And that work and what it does to cultivate and perpetuate all of the things that has come before us. And that job is not an easy one. And so I dedicate, of course, this Pune to everybody who leads their spaces, those who teach and those who parent and all those beautiful things.
Mahalo, sis. Alrighty. So our topic tonight again, Malama Aina, to care for the land. And I know we have viewers who come from various backgrounds, some who understand it and some who don't. So I wanted to start the conversation with a foundation of what does Malama Aina mean to you? At what point of life did you learn about this concept and how do you practice it? I'll start with Pualani.
No pressure. I think aloha nui kako. Malama Aina, I think because we were raised with it, right? So the verbiage came later as to what Malama Aina was, but we were raised with it in a very different time than we are right now. And my ohana instilled that in me. And when I was younger, I was big into the Catholic Church. I'm not claiming any of that now, but my church was a little bit different. We did a lot of aina, a lot of mea Hawaii, a lot of mele Hawaii. There was a lot of singing, a lot of chanting. There was all of that happening as I grew up. And then as I got older, and I think Malama Aina is hand in hand with Aloha Aina because it's not separate, right? Like it goes together. And as I got older, I got involved with more. This is when the surgeons of all the programs, yeah, Napuno El came up. All the programs Uncle David Singh did with Napuno El was like lengthy. I was one of the first haumana to go through. I am a child who must understand. But Uncle David, I mahalo him plenty for all those programs. I got involved with that. And then all these other programs were coming out. And then that's when Kali came about, was built in 95. And I got involved with the Sailing Kanuma Kali'i. And that's really when I started to understand what Malama Aina meant. Because wherever we would go, one of Uncle Clay's biggest thing is heva'a, hemoku, hemoku, heva'a. And every time we would be at the kanu'u, and he would always tell us, you cannot be on the kanu'u if your aina is not good. So we got to malama our aina in order to be able to get on the kanu'u. At that age, I just wanted to get on the kanu'u because it was good fun. But it really did instill in me, you cannot go maha oira kai if you're not going malama your aina, because everything that happens on the aina affects the kai. Everything that happens in the kai going to affect the aina. I think that's when I really started to really understand it. Even in my juvenile, I just go sail and have fun kind of mind. But they secretly embedded that in the program so that, not secretly, like knowingly embedded that in the program. But to us, it just seemed like fun. But really, that understanding of that relationship has definitely stuck with me my entire life since then, and then shaped what I do now. And so I think a lot of people think Malama Aina means just go be a tree hugger, right? Like, oh, you like to go plant things and all this stuff. But Malama Aina is so much more than that, right? It's really when you walk onto a piece of aina and you can feel that place up inside you. Yeah, like it just comes up under your toes and into your na'au. And the experiences, the connections you make to places is what propels us to take care of it, right? To malama, to do that. And yes, some of that is tree hugging. I'm guilty. I've hugged an ohi'a here and there. sometimes for scared because the pig chasing me in the forest. Really, just ensuring that these things that will sustain us as light stay taken care of. Because without them, which is why there are kupuna, without these elements, without this aina, we don't exist. I think that's it. Did I miss a question?
No, mahalo, sis. That was wonderful. I love what you brought up, tying it back to the aina, the kai, or kupuna, and that being so essential to all of our values. So with that, I want to go to Keone next, because I think when we talk about aina, his kupuna is a huge part of his perspective too. So Keone, can we hear your thoughts on what mana aina means for you?
Yeah. Aloha no kako. I just wanted to say mahalo nui for having me. For me, as far as I can remember, when I was 8 years old, my ohana has, when we were building our home, we discovered a Native Hawaiian burial grave near our home, right? So ever since I was 8 years old, my family malama that, we thought that it was documented by the state government and everything. And as I got older, when I was about 17, 18, then I realized that there was a more development boom happening on Hawaii Island. People wanted to bulldoze and was encroaching up closer to our place that we're living at. And I realized that from what my parents told me and my mom and my grandma of respecting burials, it doesn't matter if it's Hawaiian or other cultures, you just respect it. But when I realized of what they wanted to do to it and bulldoze it, then that's when it really got me as a young adult to really search about who my culture is and what my role was with this burial cave. And so as a young filmmaker, I decided to pick up my camera and go out and film these meetings, that these Island Burial Council meetings, that they talk about burials and what it means to them and their relationship as descendants. And I realized that there's many more families out there. It wasn't just myself or our family just going through this. So I realized that, yeah, I better pick up my camera and start interviewing these families and kupuna too, because there was an issue that was going on of people desecrating our burials. And regardless if there's laws to protect them, that people are just going ahead with around these laws and loopholes that's within the laws and desecrating our burials. So I felt it was a very important thing to document and put a film together, which currently it has been released. It's called Kapu, Sacred Hawaiian Burials. And this has been a 23-year project, yeah? And for me, it's not a project. This was my life, yeah? So it's about my understanding of what my relationship was with my Iwi Kupuna that was in the cave, and so happened that was my ancestors, my relatives. So it all worked out in good ways, and it's all brought out in the film. But Iwi is more important than anything. When people disturb the aina around it, it disturbs the place, like the burial cave. If you're going to desecrate that and bulldoze that, you're affecting the aina, which is affecting our Iwi Kupuna for us to go and visit and malama that. And at 8 years old, I was doing that, and I'm 42 now, and I do it hands on. So it's not like that we just speak about these kind of things, but there's families that continue to practice it still today. I'm just very happy that I was able to bring awareness about how important our Iwi, not only my ohana's Iwi, but everyone's Iwi, because we're still living descendants. We're still continuing to malama, fight for, care for our ancestors, and we know who they are. So it's very important.
Mahalo for that. Yeah, I really enjoyed your film, especially the part when you were talking about the Iwi Kupuna on Kauai and Naue. I was like, oh, I know Camp Naue. And I didn't even realize as a child we would go camping there. And I didn't know everything that happened just years before on the battles that they were fighting there. So mahalo for that. Kanoi, we're passing over to you because I know like the way you malama aina, that is also set deeply rooted in your ohana as well. Can you give us your thoughts?
First, I'm aloha mai kako. I just want to enter with not forgetting to aloha each and every one of you folk. I love hearing everybody's journey and understanding. And I think one of the biggest things that resonates with me is we was always doing it. We never had to define it. And it's going back to this. We have to redefine it in order for us to define what it means today so that we cannot have to define it later and it becomes a natural course. And these are these cycles that we're starting to see within these periods of time, whether it was through the history that we've learned about But even for me, and I'm sure for the folks that are here on this podcast, that we've experienced it even within our lifetime and seen the differences. And it happens every generation, if not every other generation. And I find that very interesting as we look ahead. The question I know was around when. And yeah, so there was no malama aina. Like, that word didn't really exist in our world. It was automatic. It's more, if you're not malama aina, that's when you know you're not malama aina, because somebody's going to give you lickings or you can hear about it. So you heard more of that than you heard of the other part, right? And but what was significant, and I appreciate Pualani sharing earlier her significance when this kind of came into this fruition for her. I think for me, the better understanding of malama aina, aloha aina, which in my mind as well is the same, is when I was hapai with my oldest daughter at that time. And hard hit, I was kicked out. And long story, when one out of podcast that people don't want to listen to. But anyway, the idea was I was hapai, and that meant I had a kuleana. And so suddenly, everything that I grew up steeped in, I go put dure, steeped in culture. I grew up, period, with very strict grandparents in culture. We come from a line of generational lua practitioners as well, and martial arts practitioners, as well as healers, laulapau, kahea, kuilima, all the things. And then, and a hula person too, yeah, from the age of two. But those years were the years in which I had to. There was no choice. You just did it. And even if you was crying, making your ne kukui, lau kukui, or you was having to go pick all the kukui nuts every week, you just did it. And no complaining. Maybe you was crying in the bushes somewhere when nobody was looking, and kicking the rocks and you're not supposed to kick them. But he was doing those things. And so when I was hapai with my oldest daughter, at that time, I was doing things I wasn't supposed to be doing. I defied everything that I was taught. I didn't want to have anything to do with anything because I just didn't feel like it was me. And that was a huge lesson in life that I had to go through to accept and acknowledge my kuleana. And it was then that I cold turkey, like a lot of this very, in my life, yeah, all the, I let it go. And that was the most probably the hardest and yet the most beautiful rebirthing of who I was. And I want to say that my daughter saved my life at that time. And that's when I understood malama aina, because we could talk about aina elements, we could talk about kai, we can talk about everything in the realm of kanaloa, all the way into wakia. We could talk about all of these things that we can see, we can feel, we know. Science has told us it exists and all these things. What we don't talk about is as a healer, as a martial artist too, is we are aina. And so my daughter had this, when she came, I acknowledged that I had to cold turkey my life because I had to malama this aina, from malama that aina. And yeah, that malama aina saved my life. And it was my superhero after my daughter was born. And I had four daughters in total. And we walk around thinking, when did we know it? And it's maybe not the fact that it was just normalized, but when did it really actualize in our spaces that we actually this and believed it? I think that's where the question therein lies, because we can all malama aina, but I still watching people throw ku'e malama aina, throwing their cigarette butts on the ground, ku'e malama aina, throwing trash all over the place, spitting. Okay, that's a whole nother thing, as a la'ola pa'a spit. You're seeing them spit on the side of the road and into plants, and I'm like, when do you think about these things? And so I think, really, at what point did you believe what you were saying when you spoke malama aina? Because that's where it changes everything. And what cultivated my world is having a relationship with a person where he was my aina, I was his aina, and we took care of each other as if it was aina. And that relationship really was so profound. We understood that this was more than just aloha and love, that there was kuleana. And although we split ways at one point, we share a daughter together, I do acknowledge like that kuleana still stands strong between us, and we both knew it, and it was beyond even us. So I think when we acknowledge malama aina, we understand we are still just a small piece of the bigger puzzle. And if we're fortunate to understand that kuleana to be able to malama aina, then we're lucky. And it's not easy and it's a lot of work. And yeah, you held accountable. So while we're out there preaching and while we're out there teaching and while we're out there fighting, are we practicing those things in integrity in our own homes? And yeah, we're still human, but at the end of the day, that's not my excuse. Because when you give when you're given these responsibilities, you actually play a role that's not always in the human realm. And you gotta accept that. And so, yeah, Malama Aina is more than I think the focus right there is Malama, which we forgot. And Malama is a relationship. It's not just Pilina anymore. So it's not connecting. It's a deep, profound relationship with Aina, as if there is so much love and intimacy with these Ainas, the elements, with all the things that every day you walk into a poetic song that gets sung to you when the sun rises and the moon rises and you look up and Hina's there and you walk past your kalo and you aloha them before you come to work. That's me every day. And so I'm here with the tree hugging, but that's Malama Aina.
Oh, mahalo. You gave so much to chew on just in that little segment. I'm like, oh, yeah. When did I really feel my kuleana and my pilina? Yeah. Oh, the aloha for that aina, for sure. Yeah, I think for me, it was when I left Hawaii. You always know that it's a beautiful place, but you don't really aloha until you cannot be connected physically anymore. So mahalo for that. So two people mentioned the tree hugging, right? And so I want to pull on that thread, because I feel like in today's current world, there's a lot of people who are like tree hugging. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way. It's different. I don't know. It's lacking for me. I don't know what is the word. The soul, the something. I don't know. It's because it's a trend, right? Or sustainability is a trend now. And one of the things that I always like to say is Kanaka have been on this journey. It is part of who we are. So we don't do it just because it's a fad. Like it's embedded in our DNA as Kanaka. So I wanted to explore that a little bit. How do you guys feel Malama Aina is different from the conventional environmental conservation practices? And whoever wants to jump on first is fine.
I'm looking at you like, we like tag team. Just say them. You know, you like say hippie, yeah? Is that what you said though? Anyways, okay. I want to share a story really quick with the tree hugging. My grandfather, again, I had mentioned to you his kuleana in life. He was sifu, olohe, he was kaupono, he was these things. But when my grandfather got older, he used to walk in the middle of the night. It would probably be like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. He'd be in all white, like white pants, shirt, and just so that people can see him. And he used to walk with a kui. So we trained our weapon was a kui. Anyways, long story short, he would walk with his kui and he'd walk every morning at 2 in the morning. And scary, because when you're drinking and you're zooming right past that road and we only get one road, yeah, there's people who zoom past him, stop, and then reverse back to make sure he was on real place. And they would keep going. You remember the stories of Pele on the side of the road and, you know, how we used to always hear about that? Yeah, he was that one. Until it was routine, but my grandfather would always walk in the middle of the night, and then he would walk to these trees, these coconut trees that happened to be in Kona Kakai. And it was at my And he would actually tell me when I was go hug a tree. And I was like, and before I understood tree huggers and all these things. And so I asked him, like, why you hug the tree? And I remember him sharing, like, every night why he does it is because he got to put his mana back. And if he can really, the mana has to go back. And then that's the same mana that comes to him. And so it's this reciprocation. Remember that relationship. And he used it as a way of, I don't know what the right words are. A conduit, charger, grounding. I think electric versus very like, oh, I got to go ground myself kind. So he did this. That was the relationship he had. And yeah, if he was passing by at the right time when he was hugging that tree, it probably looked really weird. It's probably why he did it at 2 o'clock in the morning. But anyways, it was a natural part of Kuleana, not because, oh, I love the tree and I just want to give it a hug. It was Kuleana. It was the same tree, same time for the same reasons. And this, they both had a relationship that we'll never know about. But that relationship was so intimate that they brought life to each other in all those times. And I'm pretty darn sure that tree is sad that my papa is not there anymore. And I'm sure if that tree got cut down, my papa would be sad too. So it's one of those types of relationships. So that's, I just wanted to, I'm not making any kind, but that was it. So mahalo.
Mahalo. Apualani. Pea kumanao.
So as you're talking about your grandfather, so my ohana is actually, my Hawaiian side is actually originally from Maui. And I actually do actually have one. My grandmother was actually born in Molokai, in Kaunakakai, but then her ohana moved to Oahu. But my ohana, they really kept things like super quiet about anything Hawaiian. Like they allowed, I'm very grateful that my grandmother and my dad really pushed us to learn things Hawaiian. They did things, but they didn't like, their ohana, their upbringing was very shh. No, you don't say nothing because they're going to know. Like my grandmother, my great grandmother, and I'm fair. My siblings and I are fair. When my mom was hapai with my oldest sister, my great-grandmother, whose ohana was from Kohala but via Maui. So Maui would always jump over to Kohala and then she ended up in Hilo. She had told my mom, don't ever take your kids to the continent, to the mainland, because they're going to be discriminated against. They're going to know that they're not white. And I thought to myself, that's some heavy eha to carry with you, to tell that to the mother of these babies that are going to be your mo'opuna, and keep that case before I go off tangent. But your story reminded me of my grandmother as well and her relationship with her meakanu, her plants. And I think it's almost like this innate genetic memory that we have as kanaka to bond with our meakanu, our plants, our forests, our aina. It's an innate thing. My grandmother wasn't a really big like culture practitioner because again, her ohana said, a'ole, cannot. But she was super connected to her meakanu. I promise, like she would talk to the thing and it would grow. And I would be like, how does she even get this to grow? And we had a fig tree in our yard. And people would always say, how did you get a fig tree in this yard? Like it shouldn't grow in this climate because we were right by the kai and it's Hilo. It rains all the time. But they're like, how did you get this gigantic fig tree to grow? And I think I didn't realize it then, but watching my grandmother malama all her meakanu and all her plants and all her, every day she would walk around the house and water all her plants. I didn't totally realize it. Like she was teaching me how to take care of meakanu, even though I didn't engage. And I always thought, no, I'm not that person. I'm not a plant person. And growing up, I would, or hula, you got to make all your, you know, or your lei, all your things. And so we would always go gather. And I always felt this like extreme sense of peace when we were in the forest. But as I got older, I would say my kids, I'm just going to be honest, it was probably like I hit 35. And I was just like, I had the need, like this innate feeling to just start to cultivate meakanu more. Whereas before, I did it, but it wasn't this, I have to do it. Like, it was just internally, like this innate thing. And I think that came from my grandmother as well. Like, I felt like this pull to start growing. I'm not always doing a very good job of it. I got some tomatoes going. But, and I still rent, so there's only so much that I can, sadly, But within the last 10 to 15 years, I want to say that I really wanted to do more of that. And so I have finally got my own aina. It's really hard to get it all cleared and all the things. But yeah, it's this innate feeling that I know that I have to do that. And it's almost like genetic memory. Like it just came to the surface and it was there all along. I just didn't do it until now. No, I need to do this. I need to build this connection. So yeah, so mahalo kanoi for that reminding of, I can imagine being a teenager drinking down the beach and then you see your grandpa in all white hugging the tree. That must, yeah, I can imagine that.
Oh, mahalo for sharing your mana'o.
I gotta share it too. He used to walk with his eyes closed.
What?
Well, that's what made it. Yeah, so we were trained very differently. Can you know what I meant? Think of old Kung Fu movies. That's how we was trained. But so he used to walk with stick and light. And that's how he at night. So yeah, it looks scary.
That's awesome, though. I'm like, just all the using the other senses, right? In the dark. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's awesome. Kyone, how about you?
Yeah, that was great. I love to hear everybody's mana'o about our connection with aina, with the tree and the tree hugger thing. For me, in protecting our iwi kupuna, it was very important that I'm a lama aina too, right? So anything that I plant in the ground is part of my mana, right? My mana goes into the ground. Anything I plant pretty much grows. So it identifies what kind of person you are, whether you can manage and raise a small plant into a huge tree. And ever since I was younger, I remember our kumu would come into our classes. She shared a story about, I don't know if you guys remember, about the ulu tree and how somebody wanted to desecrate one of the burials and the ulu tree fell on the guy and all that stuff. Later, in doing the work that I'm doing, it lined up of when I'm malama and take care of and plant, and these things grow huge because our burial, I know when somebody walked into our lands, I just know, I just can look around, I just know something's not right. That's how I identify it. And I know when something's been disturbed, and that's just what comes to you naturally when you do this kind of thing. And when you're so in tune to our iwi kupuna and to the land and the landscapes. But when these trees grow tall and big, you look at them more as trees, you look at them as guardians, yeah? And no matter if you're there or not, they're there to protect, right? So if somebody goes there and they think that they're gonna go there when we're not there, whether it be the trees that we planted, have our eyes, and then also even the pākus, right? And I have several pākus right around our burial cave. So if anybody think that they would tamper with that and if they should go down, so that's part of all that, you know what I mean? And for me, learning about our culture wasn't my family practice. We didn't do the whole traditional stuff of speaking the Hawaiian language and practicing the hula and all. That came later for me. And it's okay for many families out there to relength of who you are and your identity. And when you realize who you are and what you're about and your connection and your genealogy and to our burials or to this place, then you have a greater standing, you have more voice of power of what you do, and especially whatever you're connecting with will grow with you. Yeah. And I realized that. So now when I leave, because I own several properties and stuff, when I leave, before you used to think that somebody's going to go there and desecrate, but now I have confidence that my iwi kupuna is there. And no matter what people think they can do, they can try, but what comes along with that will happen. But planting our own keiki seedlings and whatnot, it's great because that mana of what your belief is and how you feel goes within that land. Another thing I wanted to also say with our iwi kupuna and why it's in connection and I love it so much is that even when our ancestors buried, we never tell everybody where we're buried. You know what I mean? It was only for the close families. As the kids and the keikis grew up, it doesn't matter where our iwi kupuna is. You just respect the whole area. You know what I mean? They're somewhere within the landscape. You don't have to identify them exactly where they're at. And that's what teaches us to realize that we don't just protect here, but this whole valley, this whole area is sacred. And because it doesn't matter where they're at, we know where they're at, but the respect and the sacredness is beyond that. And it's all connected and tied to. So I'm excited to share that, Manalo.
Mahalo. Well, you guys are like really making me think right now. It's just such wonderful, new, fresh perspectives for me. And I hope that our audience is getting a lot of Manalo too. So I think we pulled on the thread a little bit, but I wanted to bring it back to how experiences or stories where, like, how does Malama Aina relate to the health and vitality, not just of us and our ohana, but like our community as well, within as a Native Hawaiian community? And then what happens when that connection is cut? So like, for, we see so many of our ohana having to leave the island now, and Kanoa, I know you live both in and outside of Hawaii. What are some of the considerations, or from a health perspective, because our ahana is so central, and how do we navigate that when we lose at least the physical connection to it? And how can we maintain, stay grounded in that away, or yeah, away from it? But we'll Kanoa first and then.
Well, I'm listening, like, it's really easy, but it's not that hard. I think one of the things about the subject of Malama Aina is taking us into this, again, Malama Aina. If I look at Aina as a relationship with another person, element, I animal, then I have to then think Malama Aina is also me. And that's the first Malama Aina. I maybe come from a very different background. I grew up, my grandparents, I was raised by my grandparents. So I was Hanaya generation above me. And from baby time, and actually my household, my grandfather was a practitioner, is a practitioner. And my grandmother, she not admit it. I can name all the practitioner too, she is, but she was in denial because she was also in that space. My grandfather used to take my brother and I, we used to practice outside or inside or secretly. So it wasn't known. My grandmother knew, but she called me heebie-jeebies the whole time I was growing up, right? That was my name. But they're the things that we know, the things that we were trained in. So I wasn't far away from culture. It's always been with me. I didn't learn it later. And so some of the stuff that's coming out today, like it being defined and boxed, that's not of me. And so now I can see why the kupuna are ashamed for talk, because we like box everything. We like tell them, no, that's wrong. It's this. And they're looking at you like, and then they don't want to share. And I can attest to that being in this space, and people like want to define that. And why I said earlier it's simple is because, so we are also la'aulapa'au people. So we had to, and hula people, as you folks know, we had to identify plants, all the things that were partnered with us. They were in relationship with us. And anywhere I go today, even if it's out of country, to the continent, everywhere, I'm looking at plants and I'm like, oh my gosh, I know you. You look very familiar. Oh, we hit that fern at home. Oh. I know you can make rope out of this. I'm walking through like different forests and different, even in the middle of cities, and they get plants all over the place. I'm like, okay, if somebody, in my brain, I'm going in my inventory, if I need to make one lei, I know where to get this plant, and I know how to use this plant. And then when I'm walking through this way, I go, oh yeah, if somebody get hurt, I know how to, I know where all these plants are, and I know how to use them. Getting to know yourself then in that way helps you be able to go anywhere in this world. Anywhere, you are still as Kanaka in any part of the world as you are at home. You are still a Malama Aina in any part of the world as you are at home. And I think that tells your expertise and the time and the training that you had in that model. When I lived on the continent, I lived on the East Coast. I remember moving there in my early 20s. I had a family already. By then, I had two keiki. I was married, my two older daughters. And was dancing hula with Kumu Kahoone Panoke, and after that, Kumu Kau Neves in Hilo, in Kilkaha. And so I remember Kamehameha lei dripping was a big thing over there. It's not a big thing on Molokai. So when I was like, well, what is this lei dripping? Like, we don't honor, we don't honor Kamehameha like that. We don't, like, he never come conquer over here. Anyways, going on, even from Molokai to Oahu is a big difference. But when I went there, they, oh, we got to honor Kamehameha, and there's there he get his statue. And Kanoe, can you make the lei? And I was like, sure. And I came out with all the maple leaves. Why? They look like my kukui tree, my kukui leaves over here. But they were pretty because they were yellow and they were red and they were brown. And I was like, wow, you guys, maple leaves look like our kukui. And boom. So, and Healy won one lei, and that was the lei we in present. Since then, they've been doing that. And it was this identifying of the plants around us that helped us regain that relationship. And so maybe the plant and I don't have a relationship, but the way we malama each other still is very kanaka. And I think that's one of the things we got to start shifting our minds from thinking that we have to keep putting things in one box. Oh, pretty kanaka. You sit right there. You look so good. You more kanaka than this kanaka. Over here, who got 1 degree. And this kanaka over here, that manalea, all these things. It's come on. That's how we, that's what they wanted for us to do, is be stuck and compare. Yeah, oh, Molokai more better than Hilo, Hilo more better than Oahu, Oahu more better than. Again, it doesn't matter. The idea is, what are we doing with the kuleana? Are we focusing on the action of the kuleana, or are we focusing on the kuleana itself, the word? And then when we can define what malama is in ourselves, then anywhere we go, we can malama. And we get kanaka who bring la'i, who bring plumeria, who bring arakei plants, I can't think right now, or lena, things they can grow in their house. And it's nice that you could figure that out, because you just did that. That is malama aina. You can figure out how to get that olena to grow inside during the winter months and outside during the summer months with the time changes. And then you also, and simultaneously, you're getting to know your aina there. And you're like, what I used to do is I used to like a plant. I'll go pick a couple of leaves and I'll pick a couple of flowers and I'll put one outside and I'll put one in the refrigerator. And I'm doing my observations. I'm doing my kilo. Okay, what you guys like? I'm not going to do with you what I like. I like know what you like. Okay, you know the refrigerator. You like stay out this way long time. You don't like to be out for 3 days. You can last for 1 week. And that's how I gain my relationships with the plants. And then I can either make lei, I can make la'au. And what it starts with is a lot of homework. And that homework, the first homework starts with ourselves. The second homework starts with the relationship of wherever we're at. And I want to tell that to the kanaka on the continent. You're not far from home. They told you you're far from home. So remove that from your mind, because your home is right here. Like, your home with your kupuna is always right here. Your home with your aina is always right here. Your goal is to get home. But for now, this got to be your aina. This got to be your moku. This got to be your home. And what you do with, that's up to you. How your island and your resources are built is based on the how you are thriving as a kanaka. You can either be a desolate island, or you can have an island that is an afupua'a with rain and lo'i and streams and lo'i'a and fish. So really, the second we change and shift our minds, that's how we're going to be able for aloha our aina and aloha ourselves within any space, any given space. The most tough ones and the most easy ones. So yeah, that's how I was able to nene transition into spaces and then still always find my grounding within myself.
Mahalo. Yeah. That's very insightful. I'm trying to think about all the things that you just said. I love it though. It really ties into what would be touted now as like self-care, right? Like taking care of yourself so that you can do your kuleana in wherever you are, right? And I think that's something you mentioned to me in another call. And it's just helping me to see like why I'm doing what I'm doing and how it ties back to this is my kuleana. I don't know how it came to me, but it is my kuleana. So mahalo for sharing that. Does anybody else have things to add off of what Kanoe just said?
I guess I can. I'm on the complete opposite of that, is that I've never left Hawaii to live outside of Hawaii. But it was funny because I had, so going back to the very first question, like, when did I realize my malama aina? Partially was when I had my children. I was like, oh, I get this kuleana. I got to really do this thing. But it was when it really hit me in the face was after my baby daddy and I split, which I mahalo him because we had probably the best divorce anybody could ever like dream of in the stories of divorces. But I was dating someone from New Zealand, but he was Kiwi. He wasn't Maori. He was Pakeha that grew up in New Zealand. So he was Kiwi, right? And he was a scientist, a little bit on the spectrum, a little bit like weird kind things. I don't know how I ended up hooking up with him, but it worked somehow. But there was a moment, and I think it was like 2015 when the first big standoff happened on Mauna Kea. And him coming from his science perspective was like, and I said, but I'm just saying a'ole. I shouldn't have to back up my a'ole. Why I don't want you on my sacred space. Like, I shouldn't have to justify it. I should just be able to say a'ole and it should be listened to. And long story short, he came to me one day and he said, I'm going to tell you, I believe like this telescope should be built, but it's not my choice to make. This is your aina. This is your place. And if you say no, then it should just be no. And I was like, mahalo for that. And then like he had to leave and I was like devastated and I wanted to follow him and he was going to go work in China and all of these things. And I was like, I want to follow him, all these things. And then he sat me down and he goes, if I take you away from Hawaii, you will hate me. You cannot leave this space just for me. It has, if you want to leave, it has to be for a different reason. But he is, if I take you with me, you're going to hate me. And I was like, oh, whatever. Go tell me, because you don't go tell me nothing. But it made me think. It really like pushed that button. Of, oh, the connection that I have to place, right, is so strong that, yeah, I can take it anywhere, but he could see that if he yanked me out of it, that it probably wasn't going to go very well. I mahalo him for that because I moved on now. But what Kanoi was saying too, though, like when I do go to the continent, I just went to visit my hula sister that now lives in Springfield, Massachusetts. And we're driving down the road and I'm like, sis, that's Palapalai right there. Like, she's like, no, it's not. I was like, it's gotta be in the same family. It's gotta be. And then we went to Ace, their Ace hardware store or whatever's. And there was this plant there and they were called elephant ears. And I picked it up and I looked at it and I read the label and I was like, sis, isn't this Kalo? And so like we read it and it like was all the same things. Like, in order to be very careful while handling this plant, it'll cause you to get itchy if it's not cleaned well. And that. And the two of us was like looking at each other like, there's gotta be a connection. Like it must be in the same family. So like the ability though to make those connections, I wouldn't be able to make those connections without the level of learning and understanding. And I really got a kako o you kanoi on this. They wanted us to be in separate boxes because they knew when we came together, they wouldn't win. And so we as Kanaka have to stop that. We have to stop it. And we have to honor each and every one of our practices, even if it's different, right? Even if I hula here and you hula here and we do it different. And Ako Paul Nevis was actually one of my daddy's best friends. So mahalo for bringing him into this realm because yeah, he was one of my daddy's best friends. And I learned a lot from him as far as activating and being Hawaiian. But we have to stop doing that. We have to stop pitting ourselves against each other because that's what they want us to do. They want us to be crabs in the bucket. But really what we got to do is we got to support each other in our differences, even as we practice. Just because it's different doesn't mean one was better than the other. It's just okoa. That's all. Because alepauka ike kahala okai, right? They left us with that mana'o. But yeah, I really mahalo you for mentioning that because I feel that all the time. Like I don't want to say I'm a better Hawaiian than somebody else. I don't want to ever say that. Everybody is doing their koleana in the line that they're being put, that our kupuna picked for us, because our kupuna didn't do everything in it, all the things. They were specific in their trainings on what lines you went into. And we just have to uplift each other in our lines and be like, yeah, like anakun go do one tattoo. I'm not going, but people still come to me and ask me for designs. Guys, that's not my deal. I'm sure Keone has something else to add. Kalai amuna. I digress. But mahalo for that. I really mahalo that.
Oh, I think that was great. I learned a lot. I don't know if it's on topic, but anyways, but in filming, there's a point in my career that my boss, who I worked for, he used to be a director at KGM Minerals, and he decided to retire. So when he decided to retire, what does that do? That allows me to not have a job, right? In filming, editing, and stuff like that. But I had an opportunity to jump onto the Norwegian Cruise Line, right, on the ship. For 2 years, I worked for them. I traveled all over the world. And I think it's good for our Hawaiian people to actually sometimes not move, but visit other places, because you're going to realize your place. You're going to realize about the connection you have with other cultures. And majority of the times, us as Hawaiians, we get along with everybody. And it's great because we have a different personality. We have a thing about us that people just want to be around us and want to be a part of that, not knowing even what our culture is. They just love the personality. And when we say where we're from, then they appreciate it more. And that was a great thing. And I seen it from all levels, from the captain of the ship to the staff captain to the hotel director of the ship. And I worked with them all because I was like the chairman of the ship on the Norwegian Cruise Line. And it was amazing because I had to actually provide everyone of all nationalities and races that was on the ship. You're talking about like 26 different countries. And you have to provide and you got to make sure that everybody's happy because you're living on the ship. But long story short is that just realizing who you are and appreciating that we're someone special. For me, I always knew that even living on the ship, but it made me appreciate of who I am. And yes, it does. You do want to come home. And when I had the opportunity to come home, I was just pedal to the metal that I appreciate who I am as a Hawaiian. And for me today, being able to share many stories about our culture and especially about this documentary that I have and sharing it with the next generation, that is the bonus part about realizing that, yeah, we know the place in the mainland or in the world, wherever you go, but we do have to realize who we are as Hawaiian people and how special we are. And when I got home and reconnected with that, it was amazing. And back to the burials, I'm teaching three other kanaka kane, yeah, about burials. And they wanted to, the burial, right? So they wanted to learn. But part of our aina, of our uwe kupuna, planted the different things that you'd have to identify these things in order to find them, whether it be rock, whether it be trees. And they knew of a burial site that they discovered a long time ago, and he wanted to protect it because he knew that without development, same thing like what I was in. So I said, just take me to the area. And he did. And so I had three guys and spoke it. I don't know where it's, I think it's around here, but I know what to look for. So when I started to tell them what to look for, and I said, no, it's probably more over here. And come to find out, it was under a huge tree. But what the key thing was, the key, right? I said, all right, you kupuna gonna plant key. You know what I mean? And had this small little shoot sticking out of the ground. And he couldn't believe that. He said, are you sure? I said, yeah, right there, like, see, you can see the plant right now. And I said, it's right here. And he's like, no way. And I said, yeah, you just gotta look through the rocks. And sure enough, when they did. So it's a beautiful thing when we get to learn our aina when we're back home and we get to share it with others. It's maybe a little bit more harder in elsewhere, but our main focus is here because it is very important and sharing the knowledge, the little knowledge that we have, because there's going to be so much to grow, right? That many more people is going to research more, and that's for their kuleana, but we only can do so much. But sometimes that ignites, just like with my kupuna, with my elders who said, you know what, you got to help to do this film, and they're going to share me the stories, open the doors for me in order for me to get the other kupuna from different islands to help out. That's what I'm providing for them. It's just a small light to know that it's possible to protect them, but you got to be serious. You got to be wanting to do it. And I know that they were willing to do it because not only them, the keiki made whole kupu for us before even we went there. It was just an ironic thing. And so much things happened that day that we got to just know our culture and we just got to have belief in it. And Aina is so important. And to just learn the landscapes of it, it really helps us. We can identify everything that goes through. Our Ivi Kuna never did desecrate the area. They would actually adapt to it. But today it's a lot different, right? And I think that's why we get so upset, you know, because we can see the destruction that doesn't have to be, you know, but that's why we're bringing change. We're bringing awareness that it is wrong. It doesn't look good. It's not right. That's not part of our practice. As soon as we just stand ground on that and be pa'a and share the knowledge, especially today, there's so much. I understand that people want to exploit our culture. I know there's other people just want to learn and just do whatever they're going to do. But the right thing about it is that the information gets into the right hands and to the right link, right? You have this link that is all missing and we all got to link up again to tell the stories and to continue on their culture. But we cannot just stop from sharing that. And you just got to have hope that the mana'o that you're going to share, that it's going to reach the right people. And they're going to carry an extra 20 miles. Because like me, once I found out how special our Ivi Kupuna was, I wasn't going to let any developer, any millionaire stop me, take me to court, which they did, stand in front of bulldozers. And that's just part of the kuleana. That's part of what we need to do. Not saying that's what we have to do, because we shouldn't have to do that. But we're forced to do that, right? Because times has changed. We just got to ignite that fire and don't cop anybody out because you might feel that they're not Hawaiian enough. They don't look Hawaiian. They don't speak Hawaiian. They don't do the traditional things. But once they get who they are, once they connect who their ancestors are, they will be more Hawaiian than anybody and they will take it as far as it can go. And that's the goal is. That's what we want to do. We want to continue to share. But yeah, we also realize the ones going to exploit, you know who they are. But for our people, we got to share. And then we know that you do good work, good things happen. You do heba things, so be it. You know what I mean? But we have so little that we need to keep sharing. Because once we make it, it goes with us. And that's a sad thing. And there's a lot of kupuna and a lot of people that went down that they did never leave behind. Why our burials are sacred or what makes this area special. But we do have a lot still that we can still carry on. But so we just want to continue that with aloha. Yeah. And today it's hard because everybody's exploiting that. Yeah. But we just got to have trust in our people. We're very unique, loving people, giving people. And we just got to continue that on. And I just say, and like how one Hawaiian said, 1% Hawaiian. As long as you have that, hey, you Hawaiian. So I always look at that as an example for me to continue to speak up when I know definitely it's wrong and not to be ashamed about who I am and what my culture is.
Mahalo, Keone. I really love that you focused in on not being afraid to share, because I think that might have been like a generational thing, the results of colonization and all of that embarrassment and healing that our kupuna had to deal with. But it is wonderful to see the generation now re-embracing who we are as Kanaka and trying to help build these connections and sharing more, because that's something I have seen and have struggled with myself. Like, just seeing so many people being like, oh, we can't tell them that. We can't do this. And I'm just like, yeah, I understand why you're saying that, because we are trying to protect against exploitation. But by the same token, on the other side, you're preventing Kanaka from connecting to the piko. You know what I mean? So you just got to go with, share with your mana'o and the good intentions. And like you said, if it's heba, then they can get what's coming to them. So mahalo for that. I also appreciate the messages across all of us in terms of ignoring or not letting them categorize and try to separate us. Remembering those connections amongst us, respecting and recognizing those unique differences and uplifting each other, not just within that Native Hawaiian community, but in partnership and in allyship with the other Indigenous communities that have similar value systems and beliefs that we can learn from. And I know I have watched some other communities and be like, I see some similarities to the respect and values of Kanaka. So I think that message is something that needs to be heard. And we need those reminders because we are inundated and consumed by opposite messaging to like point fingers and look at all the differences. Let's remember the similarities and the places where we can link arms, fix those missing links that we talked about, and become a stronger force together. Mahalo nui for being generous with your time. I know we all live very full lives. And so I want to mahalo you. Mahalo to our viewers who are watching here on the live stream or in the recording later on. Mahalo nui. Please follow the podcast, subscribe, share. It helps us to get our engagement so that we can reach more Kanaka and others who need to hear this, these messages. I really appreciate all of you for sharing your mana'o and just being simply Kanaka. Mahalo nui for embracing yourselves. Malama kokino, malama aina, inoho, o kokino, a wiho. We'll see you guys soon. Aloha.